Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover Show. This is Haixi. In the past few years, Cloud Cover Show has brought many amazing speakers to talk about new Azure features, new toolings, and new scenarios. But as we see more and more people are using Azure for mission-critical workloads in the production, I think it's increasingly important for us to cover patterns and practices so you can bring the most out of Azure. A few weeks back, we did an episode on designing the hyperscale web applications, and the episode was really well received. And today, we are going to do another episode on microservices, especially with Service Fabric. But as we come up with topics like this, we don't want to just make up scenarios by ourselves. So that's why we turn to our partners and customers, and we learn from them, and we share their experience to you guys. Mm-hmm. So today I'm really happy to be joined by Media Velak guys to talk about their practice in the domain-driven design CQRS pattern on Service Fabric. And before we start, why don't you guys just to introduce yourself, tell us who you are and what you work, what you do in Media Velak.
Okay, thanks, Haixi. Yeah. I'm Jean Lozano. I'm the CTO of Media Velak. With me is Sergey Chernets and Stanley Chen.
Okay.
Right. So we develop a product called Media Velak, and we actually built it probably 5 years ago when Azure SDK was still in version 1.0. Right. So Media Velak is a digital asset management system. So we help marketing teams manage all their media assets. So be it photos, videos, audio files, PDFs, marketing collateral in the form of Adobe InDesign documents. That's what we help them manage, right? Now, when we launched Media Velak, Azure was still in the very early stages of development. And we started with what we called two services on Azure. We had cloud services and we had Azure Storage, right? So we started with two services, tried to come up with a solution that is our minimum viable product, sold it to the industry, and we actually, we are where we are right now. Evolution has evolved. From our cloud services, we have migrated some of those services into web apps. Like, for example, we used to have an ASP.NET web application for our portal, and what that is right now is it's two things. It's an AngularJS web app running on Node.js, plus you have a back end of web API running on an app service of Azure with some web jobs to provide async capabilities to it, mm-hmm. right? But the back end is still cloud services, right? And then architecture is evolutionary. So we keep on moving as the cloud evolves, we evolve, right? And then what we did, Haixi, was we started implementing new things, like when customers needed to connect to us, we put our API in front of API management. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, without a lot of effort, we have a developer portal that our customers now use, partners and customers now use. And we have also implemented, like when we started with cloud services, we had to improvise. To provide search functionality, we had to implement Lucene on worker roles on cloud services. Mm-hmm. Now there's Azure Search, so we moved. We used to improvise by streaming from, again, cloud services. Now there's Azure Media Services, so we migrated. Mm-hmm. And the biggest move that we're doing right now is to move the remaining of the platform, the big chunk of it, mm-hmm. from our legacy cloud services into Azure Service Fabric.
Okay.
And that's why we have Sergey and Stan here to talk about that.
Yeah, actually, can I ask, so what's the reason behind this movement? Why you don't want to stay on cloud service but move to Service Fabric? What's the main benefit you're trying to get out of this exercise?
Oh, there's a lot. And I can actually talk about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in the past, the focus was to build a minimum viable product, right? And that was just built using two services,
mm-hmm.
right? And our hands were tied because the entire cloud platform wasn't fully evolved yet. And it's still evolving right now, right? But it wasn't like we didn't have a lot of services that were there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole idea is like we want to focus on development.
Yeah.
We don't want to focus on operating the system.
Okay.
Right? There's a big, like, my entire, I work with, I run both operations and development,
mm-hmm.
and our operations team is a very small portion of our development team.
Yeah.
And we want to keep it that way.
Okay.
Right? By building the right systems instead of managing systems and services.
Okay.
Right? And in the past, we made that decision from the get-go by not going with infrastructure as a service. We decided that when Azure launched, the thing that sold us on Azure was platform as a service.
Yeah.
Now, platform as a service is evolving into platform as a service version 2
mm-hmm.
on Service Fabric. Now we're actually going that way.
Yeah, actually. Some people are kind of sensitive to talk about the Service Fabric as past version 2.
Oh, okay.
But that's all right. I mean, it's an evolution of the past platform.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that your company is evolving with Azure.
Mm-hmm.
So initially, you have this one big application. As you pick up more and more Azure services, you are actually morphing into this microservices architecture.
Yes.
You're using Azure Search. You're using media services.
Yeah.
And I think that now you're just changing your main product into this same architecture as well.
Yes. So the whole idea is microservices, not only microservices, but we take it from the top, from domain-driven design all mm-hmm. the way down to microservices, and our implementation of microservices is through
mm-hmm.
Azure Service Fabric,
mm-hmm.
right? And the whole idea there is a couple of things. Number one is for domain-driven design, we just want to implement, like, it's tough to find good developers right now who know the cloud,
okay.
right? So whenever we get new developers in, we want to speed up
yeah.
the time to ramp up these developers.
Yeah.
That's why with domain-driven design, coupled with some frameworks that we've built,
okay.
and that's what Sergey and Stan is going to be showing,
cool.
that is actually, that helps the learning curve for these developers.
Awesome.
Number two is we want to focus on the application lifecycle. In the early stages of our company, the whole idea is to build,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, we are in a stage of our company where it's continuously building, continuously integrating new features into the product. Like,
mm-hmm.
we do that like a couple of epics every week,
okay.
right? And we have been doing that. And the focus now is we want to have an architecture that is not coarse-grained. It has to be fine-grained
mm-hmm.
so that we have, for example, our whole application is divided into different domains, into different what we call, Sergey is going to discuss more about mounted context. Like,
mm-hmm.
so you have a service called library management.
Mm-hmm.
You have a service called media processing.
Mm-hmm.
For example, media processing, that's what you use to transcode videos or to convert images.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we only need to change one part of the image conversion process?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to deploy the entire service or the entire
system
yeah. for that particular fine-grained service.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to just update that particular thing, and microservices allows that for us. That way we also, like, especially for developers, conflict resolution
mm-hmm.
is an issue. But if you implement DDD, bounded context, concepts properly and microservices, we actually avoid
mm-hmm.
the whole conflict between systems.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
And the last thing is why Azure Service Fabric is we continue to leverage new Azure Cloud services that add value to the Media Valley platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we know that instead of managing our own Azure service,
mm-hmm.
why don't we, Azure Search, why don't we go and use our own legacy search? Why don't we just use the Azure Search,
mm-hmm.
right? In the same way for microservices, we can go out and get, you know, bits and pieces and
mm-hmm.
run it on containers and stuff.
Yeah.
But why do we have to do that when Azure Service Fabric already yeah. provides the plumbing?
Yeah.
That's why, you know, we still think about it as just a service mm-hmm. that we can run on top of, our apps that we'll run on top of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this is actually the power of using microservice on a platform as such as Azure, mm-hmm. who has an ecosystem of services. Mm-hmm. So you can actually take different services like Azure Search or other services and compose with your own services into a complete scenario.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, and just to sum it all up, like through the years, if we go down to basics, right? So if you talk about software design, right? There are four elements of four qualities that we're looking for in software. You've got design elements, you've got user experience, you've got runtime, and you've got system, right? As a company, you know, we are not a big company. We are a smaller company that has good developers and good designers, right? So what we focus on should be on user experience, which talk about value, usability, adaptability, and desirability of the product to our users, and software design. And for software design, we have to make sure that the software is designed in such a way that it has conceptual integrity, that when you look at the different pieces of the software, you know that they are part of one bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And that bigger picture is part of a bigger picture, right? And Sergey will discuss more about that. Maintainability, reusability, and extensibility. That's what, when we design software, that's what we should focus on. And you see this bounded context, this whole border that is like 80% of our development team's job. Mm-hmm. 20% would probably be focusing on runtime and system, but then again, all of this should be offloaded to Microsoft, mm-hmm. to Azure, yeah. right? And that's the whole purpose of, yeah. in this new cloud environment, like, we should not think about, yes, we care about performance, mm-hmm. but we should not be concerned about performance, yeah. for example. That's a runtime quality that we don't concern ourselves mm-hmm. with anymore.
Yeah.
Like, reliability, scalability, security, mm-hmm. like, we don't even need to actually concern ourselves mm-hmm. about compliance, for example, mm-hmm. right? The platform should take care of compliance.
Yeah.
We don't care about compliance. If somebody asks us, mm-hmm. we tell them that this is our system and it lives on this compliant environment,
yeah.
right? Reliability. Do we have to code and take care about geo-redundancy, creating replicas?
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
right? So we offload all of those concerns. Mm-hmm. You know, supportability, if there is an issue with the service that mm-hmm. we run on top of,
mm-hmm.
you know, we just pass it on.
Yeah.
like, somebody opens a ticket with us, and we know that it's a problem within the platform, we open a ticket with Microsoft,
yeah.
right? And that is the way we work in this new environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, to dial it down, our focus is user experience and design. And for this talk,
yeah.
we want to talk more about software design,
yeah.
specifically conceptual integrity,
yeah.
right? And DDD is our first step,
mm-hmm.
all the way down to our implementation of the actor model and the service fabric,
yeah.
right? And Sergey will actually be talking more about yeah. that.
I think this is a good picture to show, because a successful cloud-based service is actually a partnership between you guys and the cloud platform like Azure.
It is, yes.
So basically, you bringing your experience, your business know-how, your design, your experiences, and the cloud is bringing all those quality of service opportunities to the application. I think that's a perfect combination. That so you can focus on your workload, and
exactly.
we can focus on the quality of the service.
Yeah.
yeah.
Anything that's contextual
yeah.
for the business is ours.
Yeah.
Anything that is utilitarian is on the cloud yeah. service, right?
Perfect. Mm. I know we've talked about DDD several times in this talk. So, Sergey, why don't you just, for the educational purpose, just for
yeah.
people who that is not familiar with DDD, just give us a quick overview
yeah,
of.
Yeah, my name is Sergey Chernets. I'm
yeah.
a senior software engineer at Mediavalley
mm-hmm.
for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Soon. And that's in my experience in software design and software development through the years
mm-hmm.
brought me to realization that software could be beautiful. And I strong proponent of building the beautiful software. And I know, you know, the beauty is subjective, but I always, go back to this definition of beauty that I actually admire, and it's totally applicable to the software,
mm-hmm.
and it is as such. So the harmonic composition of complex parts rather points to beauty. So, and it's that's how I drive anything beautiful, like painting and clean awesome. Software. Mm-hmm. So, and it plays well with the microservices because it's a harmonic composition of complex parts. And that's what, and I was looking for, approach through the my career. So I'm in IT from 1993. So basically it's a long time. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen, you know, different kinds of software and never saw the way to build a beautiful software, how. And I also believe that the good build software should be supported by few developers. Mm-hmm. If you have to hire a lot of developers to support your software, something wrong. So, and domain-driven design I came across like quite a few years ago, probably mm-hmm. somewhere in 2006. Mm-hmm. So, and in order to, and as John mentioned, the conceptual integrity, as soon as you have that design principle, because DDD is not a frame. I mean, yes, I understand some folks may not too familiar with DDD. Mm-hmm. So I'll cover some basics, really, so set up the context, right? Yeah. Yeah. And so domain-driven design is the set of practices and best practices how to develop nice software. And in fact, it's a solid design, solid principles applied on a higher level abstraction. So you higher, you know, how you define your software. So basically. And since I have that design principles, I want that conceptual integrity go through the whole process of thinking, through the whole layers. It doesn't matter whether we're on a back end, on a front end, on a cloud. I want that to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's what we started to see in our endeavor. And as the slide says, transition. So we want to be DDD focused first. And it's top down. It's completely agnostic of what you're working on. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what it is. So still this applies. So just to why we went DDD, so just quick principles. I mean, these are few, right? But the main point, these are main points what DDD actually is all about. It's a lot more, but mm-hmm. just the core things. So domain experts and developers work as a cohesive team because as usually, I mean, as in the past, software development was considered as a cost to a company, mm-hmm. not as a commodity. And that's where the DDD brings the principles of domain-driven design. Domain-driven means like we are in domain of digital asset management. So domain and domain experts, they drive design. And John in particular, he's domain expert. He's past expertise in asset management. Mm-hmm. So, and the way it's built, we all speak the same language. So. DDD provides us techniques that do not require translation between domain experts and developers. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I tell you what it means, it's supposed to be this way, but when I talk to domain expert, I have to translate. So no tribal knowledge. And everything revolves around ubiquitous language, mm-hmm. which has to be practiced every single day on every meeting, and that's the key. Okay. If you ask me what is the main thing of DDD, I would say UL, ubiquitous language. That's a core thing. If you don't exercise that, it's just a matter of time, it'll crumble. Mm-hmm. So, and then design is in the code is the design. So you're not afraid of any tribal knowledge living with some developers who moves on in his life and it's lost forever. No, because when you look at the code, when you look at the design, that's your system. And business, and we help business to see other opportunities. We learn business more and we learn business together. Mm-hmm. So this is how we model things. So, and agile modeling leads to the effective design. So you iteratively model and remodel. As Eric Evans says, who coined the actual DDD term, domain-driven design, he says, so any model is a model. So one model is different from the other, mm-hmm. But one model is better than the other, but they still models, right? So you just iteratively go through the process of modeling and remodeling. It's not the waterfall, no, by all means. But you quick modeling, implement, try to break your model mm-hmm. yourself, and then move on to the next model. And the most important thing, it addresses both strategic and tactical design. So strategic is help to understand, when you look at your domain, it helps you to understand what are the most important software investments you can make. So there's a concept of subdomains and core domain. And core domain is the one that brings competitive advantage to the company. Mm-hmm. Like where do we focus in our multiple, you know, niches of our, you know, big domain of subdomain that actually will bring competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. Service fabric, like asset, you know, library management. And that's why we put in service fabric because it's fast, it's robust, it's really productive. So, and we're better than the others. So, and as well as with tactical design, so there are two DDD, strategic DDD and tactical DDD. Mm-hmm. Tactical is actually helps to craft the elegant model of a solution using, and this is the key, time-tested proven software building blocks. Mm-hmm. They're time-tested. It's not that we went into something, they've been tested through time. And that's how you build software. So basically, when you do it proper, coding itself is a trivial task. Mm-hmm. So which helps, but then, yeah. And this is what DDD, main feature, I mean, core things that to keep in mind mm-hmm. as we move forward. So then these are DDD concepts, these are bounding context defined by UL. These are key kind of concepts. Those were benefits, these are concepts. And then when we talk about concept, that's my test against the platform I'm going to develop on. Mm-hmm. I don't even talk about language. I don't talk about, okay, do I have this concept in whatever platform I'm about to develop? Mm-hmm. Can I map it? Because otherwise I cannot function as a software designer, software engineer to build a beautiful software. So I'm the one bounding context. Yeah, so bounding context, usually what it is, it's a language. How you define, how do you split your big domain into bounded context?
Does it refer to a problem domain? Okay?
Yeah, the problem domain is our big domain. But then you see you divide and conquer, single responsibility principles mm-hmm. on the higher level.
Yeah, yeah.
Solid, S, right? So you go in and you see, okay, how do I see the language? I see people talking specific language. Like in our case, it would be assets, libraries, you know, media files. I see the language and they understand each other. Mm-hmm. Then I talk to salespeople and they talk assets, but they mean slightly different things mm-hmm. when they talk about it. Mm-hmm. Probably it's a different bounding context. They may use the same language, I don't mind, but it has to be bounded. Mm-hmm. So hence we have ALM bounding context, we have media processing bounding context, because asset term and language concept in a media processor so bounding context could mean a different thing, but their language. So I put the boundaries around them, right? Mm-hmm. So they do not corrupt each other. Yeah. So the killer part in DDD, if you introduce ambiguity, mm-hmm. that's what you have to get rid of at all costs. So ambiguity, that's what bounding context helps with, okay. to reduce ambiguity. And yes, this is bounding context. And then goes these building blocks. Mm-hmm. So entities, value, object, domain service, domain event, repository. These are building blocks that you build you design your software with. So entity is basically a concept that has intrinsic identity to it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say, in our case, it's asset. Assets live through time and space with specific ID, and you always refer to that thing by ID. That's an entity, right? Value object describes things. Mm-hmm. So, describes entity usually, right? Domain service. It's a thing that doesn't belong to behavior or any entity, but does things, does a job and goes back mm-hmm. without changing any state whatsoever of anything. Mm-hmm. It's a domain service. And domain services are things that do not belong to any entity or any value object. So basically they don't have kind of an owner, but they do things. Mm-hmm. But they do things valuable for the domain. And names of the domain service are ubiquitous language terms as well. So basically that concept. Domain event, something happened in the life of an entity. That's a key point of an entity, not of anything else. So, and those domain events named after ubiquitous language, something important to the business. Repositories basically give you that's a concept of DDD. It's an access collection-like in memory, stream-like in memory access to your entities. Basically, it's your repository. So you go again, you ask repository, give me please asset one. It gives to you. It's an abstraction. Mm-hmm. So basically, these are core concepts of the building blocks. Mm-hmm. There are a few more, but these are core concepts. So, and we look in, okay, how do we actually map these concepts into whatever platform we're about to develop? And as we go into a cloud, so we see the programming model of the cloud and distributed computing is actor model, which is as old as 1973, basically. And just quick definition of what actor model is, so we know what we map into mm-hmm. and how it actually plays together with DDD concepts. So actor model is it's a definition. So mathematical model of concurrent computation that treats actors as universal primitives of concurrent computation. So that's what it is, simple as that. Mm-hmm. And these are main concepts, key concepts of the actor model. And these are canonical actor model, right? As it was invented by Carl Friot. So message is the unit of communication. Actors communicate only via messaging. So message is sent to an address. So you have to know where you send it to. So it's point-to-point communication. Actor processes messages one at a time. Mm-hmm. So it's like a mailbox, you pull the envelope, you read it, only then you pull another one. So one at a time. Actor can send messages to self. So self-send message. Can write a letter to myself. And actor state is not, the emphasis is not shared. Mm-hmm. It's all encapsulated in the actor. Mm-hmm. See, they're the key concept. And since communication is the our messages, so actor can actually respond to messages in a few ways. I mean, limited ways. So that's how you handle the messages. So responding to a message, actor can send message to actors it knows about. Mm-hmm. So knowledge, either it creates actors, yes, create new child actors, it creates, or it was introduced to that actor by giving you an address of an actor, mm-hmm. by whatever means. And designate how to handle the next message it receives. Basically, this is a state machine. This is a finite state machine. This is what describes it. I have to change my behavior based on the message I received. I have to become another actor, so mm-hmm. to speak, another behavior. So these concepts of actor model. And now, when we look at the what DDD concept building blocks are and actor model is, it plays so nice when you blend them together. And you see, there are some even winnings that I don't have to implement some concept because it's already implemented by Azure. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to worry about it, by Service Fabric. So it's a cut cost of development. So these are basically mapping. So as we see, the bounding context is a Service Fabric application, because okay. Service Fabric has this concept of a container, so to speak, of boundary, mm-hmm. which is actually process boundary, which is good. So you actually, you know, really allocates even on a lower level, guarantees you encapsulation. Mm-hmm. So it's a Service Fabric application. Nice, we have bounding context. That's very great. So then entity, what is entity? Stateful actor. Actor, by definition, is an entity, because mm-hmm. entity has to be transactionally consistent inside, which means nobody can touch me, I can do what I know what to do, encapsulation there, and we know actor actually can process only one message at a time. Mm-hmm. Nobody can, and state is not shared. Mm-hmm. So actor, entity always holds its state it knows about, and that's what actor is.
Yeah. So yeah. Entity, Sergey, is the DDD concept that you discussed earlier.
Yes.
And stateful actor is the Service Fabric implementation
yes,
that we used.
Exactly. Okay. So Service Fabric is actually Service Fabric concepts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. entity maps to stateful actor, and the key point is a stateful actor, not stateless actor, mm-hmm. because stateful actor has a state,
cool.
and it's encapsulated. So it's one-to-one mapping. Then domain service, we mentioned that, right? In DDD concept, it's a stateless service mm-hmm. because it does something without changing the state of anything, even itself. Mm-hmm. So stateful, we have a concept. Great. So these other dotted notation that you see on a slide, it's a dotted extractor proxy. These are, so actors could be used for solving even infrastructural problems, like, you know, some routers, some you know, relays. Mm-hmm. So as saying goes, so any problem could be solved by yet another actor. Mm-hmm. And we can do it too. So okay. we can build infrastructural applications using actors. So okay. the paradigm goes on and on and on. So, and basically, the dotted line means that this actor is transient. It lives for a time of doing the job, and we can kill it. Mm-hmm. So they are cheap, and actors on Azure Service Fabric are cheap in yeah. terms of like resource and creation. Yeah, we have this mapping. And repository, which is interesting. Repository, I don't have to worry about at all, which I love, because repository, it's actually integration with persistence, which is a pain. Mm-hmm. So when you implement it. But Azure Service Fabric is a repository in of itself.
Yeah.
So it holds all the actors, and I don't have to worry about life cycle of any actor because it does it for me, hence virtual actor. Yeah. It exists always.
Yeah.
So all this map pulls me that, okay, this is a great platform to work on.
Cool.
So, and yes, and however, we need, as we follow solid principles, the open-close principle, as we see this open-close principle in action. So you don't change, but you extend, mm-hmm. and that's what we did.
Yep.
In order to facilitate all this functionality, beautiful functionality of actors, put the on the shoulder of giants of an actor model that already created virtual actors on Azure Service Fabric, we built on it. So we added, you know, now our actor, which we call them canonical actor. Mm-hmm. Stan will show the code, you'll see the all this nice framework. Now it can create child actors.
Okay.
So we made it finite state machine. Mm-hmm. So, and because we know the single-threadedness of an actor, so one message at a time, you better not try to swamp actor with messages, mm-hmm. read or writes from it. So now we use CQRS approach. So we separate writes from reads, which means the actor only receives commands, and basically the reads will go from another Azure service, whatever we choose, to facilitate the fast reads.
Okay.
And in this case, in this way, we make sure that load of messages into the specific actor minimal, that pertains only to that specific actor, without any reads and any queries. Yeah. So we'll do the query on the other side. Yeah. And yes, and we did event sourcing, because for our case, event sourcing is really helpful, because we persist our state as a sequence of events in the life of an entity. And we use State Manager, which already included in the virtual actor, which is beautiful. I don't have to build myself.
Okay.
So, and basically, this is how we see the mapping, you know, naturally, you know, bonds together, and we build our systems.
Yeah. It's really nice to see the almost very straightforward mapping between the DDD concept and the Service Fabric actor model. But I do have a couple of questions on this slide. So the first one, when you say create a child actor, because in Service Fabric, actors are virtual, right? They always exist. When you say create a child actor, what does it mean? Does it control the lifetime of an another actor?
It controls the knowledge about it. So in actor model, when I beget actor, and actually on the next slide, there is a, this slide will show this notation when you see the document and then this double circle notation. It's notation of creating, begetting a new actor. So basically, by the virtue of begetting it, you know that it's your child by virtue of creation of it. So you know about it. So you know its address, you can talk to it.
Okay.
So it's not that you maintain the lifetime, no, but it's you who decided to create that actor. Because actor virtual, yes, but you have to first instantiate it, like a call first time.
You decide to activate.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. Okay. And whether you activate with the same ID that you already have, then it'll be the same actor that you activated a few minutes ago. Or it's a brand new ID, it will be a brand new instance of the same type, actor type, yes.
Yeah.
So child actor, it just, I want to know, I want to communicate with them. And in this example, the document, when it wants to actually compress, so it knows the compression is a very long process. But I need to do this through the kind of intermediate actor, and it's good, as good as for the few minutes while compression goes, just to facilitate communication. I know I don't need it anymore after that, but I want to hold the reference to it. It's my child. Once it's done, I kill it. Okay. I don't need it. So basically, this is what child. Yes.
Okay. And the other thing is that for Service Fabric actor, we reinforce that turn-based concurrency.
Yes.
That
yes.
means you can only take one action at a time. So when you say you implemented the SQLS pattern to separate the reads and writes, I think that's great to design a system to be scalable. But how do you transit that data from the write store to the read store?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So basically, in SQLS world, when you design writes and reads as a separate medium, and another benefit of SQLS is that you basically optimize what is the best for writes, which in case of event sourcing, it append only, which really fast, you don't require locking anything, just append only. And you can optimize the read side for reads only. So you don't have this locking, interlocking, oh, I read where I write and I have to lock until. So you don't have that problem at all. And we, but you have to, yes, you have to synchronize. How do you do that? So there are solutions that basically you build, as we call, materializer. So you basically grab, you, and hence, write model, we chose event sourcing. So it's a stream of events that always published. So this materializer will listen what's happening in the write model. Through the pub-sub mechanism, receive that event, and we'll update or trigger the update of corresponding read model.
Okay.
So, and yeah, and that's how you basically synchronize.
And that's just another actor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that and that materializer, yes, just another actor.
Okay.
So, or just another sort of fabric application, bounding context, whatever you call it. So, but it's sold with another actor.
Okay.
So that's why.
So this event source, it has the events from the other writes, but this materializer is actually is listening different events that pertain to a certain view. Then it will just play those events for that view.
Yes,
that's correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Cool.
So basically, you can split. You can at the beginning you may have one read model that everybody consumes, but then you become more kind of, you know, higher fidelity solution, you may create specific agents for specific views. So you don't have to listen for everything.
Yeah, basically you have the flexibility of changing whatever on the read side, you have no impact on the write.
Yes, correct. Exactly. Yes. And also extending. Let's say tomorrow you want another pivot, another view. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you just plug it in another agent that listens to Realizer and it goes on.
Cool.
And then basically, extensibility is really high.
Cool.
So yes, this is and this is an example that Standard will show the code because I mean, and another thing, when as soon as we develop this framework, canonical actor framework, we can slam this application so fast. Mm-hmm. Like this application that we build just a few hours and it's done, because we operate on a high level of abstraction. I don't have to think. I think in actor terms, and that and I know what actors are, and this is how I build. And also, the thing is that we have to extend the capability of actors to be able to send message to itself. So we have to extend that, and we use such thing as Remindable. So, and what Remindable is, iRemindable interface on an actor, what it gives is that it gives you ability to send the message into the same mailbox to yourself, as if it is that way. So basically, you can send it to yourself and unblock the flow. Because as soon as everything is task-based, it's awaitable, sometimes you may block the flow, but you don't want that. Let's say document, send, compress. But at the same time, command comes in, rename the document. Because it's a turn-based concurrency, if you do not, if you're still awaiting for compression to happen, you'll be in a queue, you'll be waiting. But we don't want that. And that's because everything message-based means send and forget. So, and if something happened, we'll let you know either via event or... So basically what we do, we receive on a compressor proxy side the message, and we send it to ourselves and give, yes, done, I got it, I'll deal with it. As soon as I'm done, I'll let you know.
Okay.
And that's, it gave us ability to really free the flow. So basically, and the goal here is to keep actors at ease. That's a kind of a goal that you want to go, so that you want to achieve. As soon as you do that, your system is really at ease and and behaves properly.
So, awesome.
Yeah. So the idea here is if the entity or the actor needs to do more things and it will keep him busy for a longer period of time, we offload that into yet another actor, and that actor will now just do the processing or act as a valet. to another service, then just tell document continue what you're doing. Well, I'll do this and I'll let you know, and the valet will just get back to you when it's done, right?
Is that why you name your company?
Exactly.
Okay.
So cool. That's the gist of yes, and we have we build just service fabric application that has this concept of document proxy and the communication.
Cool. Now let's see some code.
Yes.
Let's see how this picture. Transit into the C sharp code. Can we switch to the code machine? Yes. Cool.
All right, so can we start now?
Just
talk to us, right?
So here we have a Service Fabric application. We named this Document Manager. And we have a document actor, which in DDD term is an entity. And here are the commands. To that document. This is the interface for that actor. We have two commands, compress async, rename async. And these are point-to-point channels, and these are commands, compress command and rename commands. And these, the last one is an event. We'll talk about what it means later. Okay, so here's the interface for the actor. So we'll go into the actor itself. So imagine, some sender is sending a command to compress async. And let's look at document, what it does. So at the implementation, what we do is we register a reminder. This is equivalent to sending message to itself. And once the reminder is registered, it would just unblock the caller, unblock the sender, and the sender will be free. And we go to the code where we process the reminder. So here's where we process the reminder. So if we check the reminder is compress async, then we go to the current state, and we receive the command, and this is we implemented it using the state pattern. And let's look at the implementation for that. So here we are creating a new compressor proxy. So this will this is another actor instance, mm-hmm. and this will do the compress. And let's look at what it does. So again, this is an interface for that compress proxy actor. And let's look at the implementation of that. Compress axing. Again, the first thing it does is register reminder, free the caller, free the sender, mm-hmm. and then process the reminder. And imagine that we have another compressor service that will do a long-running operations.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
so that's why you put in a task delay. If you're assuming that that's a long-running service.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And then once the long-running operation is done, we will generate event. We will emit an event, and this is what that is about. We'll publish a message, and usually here the flow goes back to the document actor, where it received the event through some sort of PubSub relation, mm-hmm. PubSub mechanism, and that's what the event is for. And then again, the first thing it does is register reminder. Mm-hmm. And then look at this line of code. It from the current state, it receive document compress async, and then it reacts to that event. So we go to the implementation of that code again, and notice that this kills the actor, which is the compressor proxy that it created here. Mm-hmm. So. Yes, it's responsible for creating the actor and killing the actor after that is done.
So that is the implementation of the transient actors
yes.
that
yes.
you have.
Yeah,
right?
Transient actor. So, and that's where you create it as a child. You know about it.
Yeah,
you have knowledge about it, and you kill it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the trick is really registering reminders and unblock the caller, mm-hmm. yeah. and creating and killing the child actors when you're done.
Cool. Thank you, guys. This is really great. I think in this episode, we mentioned a lot of concepts, the DDD mm-hmm. domain. If you're not really familiar with that, this may be a lot to digest. But I would encourage you to check it out to see how you can map that with our actual model. And before I let you guys go, do you have Twitter handles from yourself or your company that you want to share?
Oh, it's just at Media Valley.
Okay, you need to do this. You need to do this so we can put the
at Media Valley.
All right, perfect, perfect. Yeah, this is great. I hope you guys enjoy the show, and
yes.
I hope our viewers you learn something useful from this episode. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the code, can we get the code somehow shared? Is that shareable or?
Well, I will speak to it. So basically, the code that we saw is based on our framework.
Okay.
Framework is not shareable.
Okay. All right.
And so yes, and I I forgot to tell that this code is conceptual code. So it mm-hmm. shows that yeah. these concepts that we show on
okay.
the diagram they are
okay.
implementable.
Okay.
So it is yes.
So if you want to look at more implementation details, just rewind the video to the code snippet, then you can see it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what happens is like so. Azure provided a programming model, Service
yeah.
Fabric provides a programming model.
Mm-hmm.
We built a framework around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then our implementation for mm-hmm. Media Valley
yeah.
Is how we surfaced it and how we implemented it.
Yeah.
This is, we surfaced it this on this side,
yeah.
but you cannot run this until you get the framework as well, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
sorry.
But I think that the
yeah.
code snippets, at least
yeah.
you can,
yeah.
some of
the
key
concepts
yes.
are there.
Like a reminder interface,
yes.
all the
exactly.
how you
so the whole
together.
Concepts
yeah.
are
yeah.
implemented.
And
yeah.
Fair
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
And
I
yes.
just want to try my luck. All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you, everybody. See you next time.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.